Father God, we want to thank you for this Sabbath morning that, Lord, we could come together again as a church family. Father, we thank you for your presence in this place. We thank you that, Lord, we have the privilege of being in your presence to worship you face to face. We thank you that truly you are the glorious God who deserves all our praise. You are the glorious God who deserves all our thankfulness and who deserves all our praise and worship, God. So, Lord, even right now as we turn to your word, Lord, we want to ask that you open up our minds and our hearts to receive the word that, Lord, you have installed for us today. Lord, let your word go forth and not return to you void, but instead let it achieve every purpose it has been intended in our hearts, in our spirit, in our life this morning. And Lord, we ask that, Lord, you speak to us, for your servants are listening. For we pray all this in the Lord's most precious name, and let all God's people say, Amen. You know, we are into the second month of the year. If you have not realized that today is the 1st of February, and it has been a quick and busy start to the year, especially for the church. You know, immediately after our watch night service, we then had our dedication service and our prayer foundation, which we have just concluded. You know, the prayer foundation is a traditional highlight of the church. It is something that is special because we have chosen to commit the year to the Lord instead of jumping straight into starting the year or even casting the vision. I think there's no better way to start the year than for the church family, that the people of God coming together to commit and dedicate the year unto the Lord in prayer. So this is a very special tradition of the church, and we should continue with this practice as it sets the correct tone for the year. And with this busy start to the year, today we can finally begin studying into what the leadership felt is the theme for the church this year. The theme for the church is strengthening our church and pastoring our community. It is a reminder that we need to concurrently strengthen our church and to pastor our community. It is not one or the other. We do not just focus on strengthening the church body and neglect our role to pastor our community. At the same time, it is unwise for us to keep focusing just on pastoring our community and neglect the strengthening of our church and our church members. Therefore, the theme is to remind us that we need to concurrently do both. And as with previous years, I intend to do a series of sermons that to teach a part of this theme. I intend to preach a series of sermons on strengthening our church community life. We often refer to the residents whom we work with, you know, in the towns where we're surrounded with, as our community. But there is also our church community. And it is important for us also as we strive to strengthen the church, for us also to focus on things related to growing and strengthening our church community life. And to strengthen the church, I believe that one aspect that we must constantly invest in is the community life within the church. I hope this series of sermons will encourage us to also invest in the church family. And that's the purpose of this series. And I intend to preach four messages in this series, and just to give you a broad roadmap of what we intend to cover over, you know, the next few months. In part one today, I intend to challenge you to commit ourselves to follow Jesus together as a community. It starts with a decision that we all have to make to commit ourselves to community life. And this is what we will talk about today. And in part two, I would like to remind us of our different but important individual roles in the church community. I would then want to challenge all of us to serve each other, to serve the church family, to serve the church community. In part three, I will then switch gear, you know, to look at, you know, how the church family, the church community is important because it helps us to celebrate, to grieve, and also to overcome challenges together. And that is the focus of part three, when we talk about how, as a church family, when we have a body life, it actually positions us to celebrate together, to grieve together, and also to overcome challenges together. And finally, in part four, I want to talk about, you know, the very real possibility of strife and offenses when we journey together as a church family. How important it is for us to guard against strife and offenses in the church community, you know, so that, you know, when the enemy will always try to sow that discord in our community, it is important for us to know of the dangers of this strife and offenses as we journey together, so that we can walk together in unity instead. So that is the broad roadmap of the series that we will cover, all right? And today we will jump right into part one, which is, you know, my encouragement for us to commit to community life in the church, for us to follow Jesus together. Let us turn to the Word of God right now, to the book of Acts chapter 2. I'm going to read to you verse 42 to 47. It's all going to be on the screen. I'm reading to you from the NIV translation. It says in verse 42, and this is an account of the early church, the early disciples, immediately after the ascension of Jesus and the Holy Spirit coming upon them on the day of Pentecost. And so this is an account of the early group of disciples, the early group of followers, the early church. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe and the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who has need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. You know, from this account of a couple of verses, I want to draw four key thoughts to share with you today. I know it's 4 points, but don't worry, they're relatively short points. I'll release you out in time. 4 points. Firstly, I want to point out that no matter if we like it or not, we are always part of different communities in life. You know, whether we like it or we are introvert or extrovert, you are somehow, it's inevitable that you are part of different communities in life. And then we want to go back to the passage and look at what are the characteristics of a biblical church community. It's important for us to look at scriptures to know that a church family has certain characteristics, and it's useful for us then to look at our church, to look at our cell groups and the different communities that we are part of, whether, you know, we are doing these things that reflects a biblical church community. Thirdly, I will then switch gear to talk about the costs and benefits of church community life. I want to point out that actually there are certain costs that we might be prepared to pay as we journey together as a family, but there are great benefits that the Lord has intended for us to journey together. And finally, it is a challenge for us to make the personal decision to commit to follow Jesus together. Firstly, communities in life. You know, our lives involve other people, whether we embrace community life or not. There are some of us who enjoy being among other people. We can talk non-stop for hours and still find the energy to continue doing so. You know, my wife is such a personality. She's not here. I can talk about that. You know, in receptions and functions and parties, I'm always the one who have to give her that look, you know, it's time to go home. It's time to go home, you know. That look. And then she look at me, she acknowledge it, and she carry on talking, you know. And that's the nature of my wife. And if your neighbor is like her, turn to your neighbor and say he's talking about you. But some of us are the opposite. Engaging others suck the life out of us. I'm actually an introvert, although I know many of you would dispute that. I'm what I call a situational extrovert. I become an extrovert when I need to, but once my social battery runs flat, I revert back to my natural self. So if you catch me in that mode whereby I'm not talking, it is not because I don't like you, it's not because I'm offended by you, it's just because my social battery has run flat. You see, whichever our personalities are, we cannot run away from being in communities. And there are different communities in our life. Where we work is our office community. Our schoolmates, those of you who are still schooling, forms our school community. Our interest groups, our cycling groups, our running groups, our soccer communities, they are all communities in our lives. Then we also have our church community. We have our cell groups, and that's our cell communities. You see, we choose to be in some of these communities, but some of these communities are not by choice. But we need to acknowledge that there are different groups that we are part in, there are different communities that we are part of, and this is the fact and the truth in our lives. But today we want to focus on what it means by being part of a church community and family. You see, our decision to follow Jesus is a personal one. But after we decide to follow Jesus, we have to make a second decision, which is whether you want to journey alone as a believer, as a follower of Christ, or you do so as part of a community. And I want to share with you that actually, God has never intended for us to journey in our faith alone. The design of God is for us to journey in our faith in Jesus Christ, in following Jesus Christ as a church, family, and community. So it is not just that, you know, if you look at scriptures, God actually called us to have unity. We are called to be united as a church community. You see, in Acts chapter 2, we did not just witness church community life. We saw a united community of followers walking in Christ. So, very much as I hate it, I have to concede that the notion of you never walk alone is correct. But that is not complete. Because we are not just called not to walk alone, we are called to be united as a community of disciples and all Man U fans say. Today I see a lot of people wearing jersey. I don't know what reason. Liverpool fans, Man U fans. So Liverpool fans got a good reason to wear it today. But United fans are wearing it in hope for tonight. Okay, come back to this, right? This is my little indulgence. Okay, even in a church, it is not homogeneous. We do not relate to one person the same as another. There are also different communities within the church. There's our larger LSBC church family. Then we relate to one another as part of the English, the Chinese, the youth, the children's congregations. We are definitely closer to those in our cell community and those whom we serve together in the church ministry. So within our church, there's also different communities. And I used to have people telling me that it is unhealthy if we form cliques within the church. But I beg to differ, because it is unnatural if we are not closer to some people than others. So there's nothing wrong with being unequal in our relationship, you know, with one another. Even Jesus did not relate to his larger group of disciples as probably how he related to his 12 disciples. But I think the call is for us to be conscious that we do not neglect the larger community when we relate to those of us in our inner circle. Now that we have defined the different communities in our lives, let us go back to Acts chapter 2 to see what are the characteristics of a biblical church community. It is an important thing to look at, because we can then look at that and see how are we doing as a church family. How are we doing as a cell family? Are we devoted to some of those things in Acts chapter 2 in ourselves, in our church? Acts chapter 2 painted a picture of what a church community should be. What are these characteristics? Number one, the church community devotes itself to the teachings of God. In verse 42, it tells us that the early disciples devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. That is being devoted to the teachings of Jesus, because the apostles do not teach their own doctrine, but they preach what they have observed, you know, from the life of Jesus, the teachings of Jesus, and they're inspired by the Holy Spirit. You know, they teach the doctrine of God. We come together as a community of disciples so that we can learn the teachings of God. Of course, we do not just depend on the church for the feeding of God's word, but the church is a source of the feeding of God's word that we should not give up on. The church community helps us grow in the word of God. And it is an important thing. You know, if you are gathered as a church or you are gathered as a cell with no emphasis on the Word of God, you are no different from a community center, isn't it? A church community, a biblical church community, must draw us to focus on the Word of God. It must then be a source of the feeding of God's Word into our lives. So that's the first characteristics of a biblical church community. Number two, a biblical church community devotes itself to the breaking of bread. In verse 42, it also tells us, you know, that the early disciples regularly broke bread together. They regularly committed themselves to the partaking of the Holy Communion. The Holy Communion reminds us of the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, and that we could appropriate His grace upon our lives. When we take the Holy Communion together as a church family, it is an act of worship unto the Lord who made the sacrifice for us. It's a declaration that, God, you have won the victor's crown. It's a declaration also that, you know, through His sacrifice, we have been transformed from sinners to forgiven sins. We remember the sacrifice of Christ, and we then remember the effect, the impact, the result of God's sacrifice on the cross for us. So it is an act of worship and also a declaration of our new identity in Christ. So the church community actually helps us to worship God for who He is and affirms each other in our identity in Christ through the act of breaking bread together. That is why, you know, in our Brethren tradition, we break bread every week, because it is a powerful reminder of what God has done and what it means for us as believers. And what it also means is that, you know, as we gather together as a church family, we must remember constantly the sacrifice of Jesus and what it means to us from sinners to transform sins. Thirdly, the third characteristic of a biblical church community is that the church community must devote itself to prayer. In verse 42, it also tells us that the early church devoted itself to prayer. And devotion to prayer actually is a difficult thing for many believers. That is why we need the church community to encourage and to discipline one another towards prayer. How many of us would commit ourselves to a week of prayer if not for our prayer foundation? How many of us would pray as regularly if we are not committed to our church prayer meetings? So actually, you know, when we come together as a church family and encourage each other to pray, we are actually encouraging one another to build the discipline of a stronger prayer life. And that is a role and characteristic of an important characteristic of a biblical church family. Number four, a biblical church community devotes itself to the worship of God. In verse 47, it tells us that the early disciples committed themselves to the regular worship and the praising of God. This is another characteristic of a biblical church. A key focus of a biblical church community is the worship of God. As a community of God's followers, we must learn to devote ourselves to the worship of God. We come together as a church family, and whenever possible, we always, you know, have the worship of the Lord. Even when we come together for celebratory events like banquets and all, you know, you'll notice that we always have a time for praise and worship. Because we need to understand, while we fellowship with one another as friends, as church members, it is also important for us to remember why we are bonded together. And that is God. And we must always worship the Lord. So even in your cell, for example, I know, you know, not every cell is blessed with, you know, with musicians, for example, in your cell group. But I really want to encourage you, do not give up the time of worship. Even you have to sing a cappella, even you have to sing with out-of-tune voices, so be it, because it is a beautiful offer of sacrifice unto the Lord. And because it is an important characteristic of any church community, whether it is a church or whether it is in the cell, worship the Lord. And if you have noticed, all these characteristics that I have mentioned so far, devotion to the Word of God, breaking of bread, prayer, and worship, you can argue that all these things, you can do it alone. Indeed, you can do all these things alone. But you see, the early church demonstrated to us in Acts chapter 2 that our church community can encourage us in each of these spiritual disciplines. There's a place for the church community life in our also in our personal discipleship journey. Because when we are gathered together as a family, it better places us to encourage one another to grow as followers of Jesus Christ when we journey together as a community. Let me give you two more characteristics of a biblical church community. Number five, the church community also devotes itself to fellowship. Acts chapter 2 demonstrated another key characteristic, and that is them coming together regularly to fellowship. You know, you can pray and learn the Word of God on your own, but it helps when we do so together. But you cannot fellowship on your own. You cannot fellowship with me, myself, and I, right? You need someone else to fellowship with you. Why? Because there's a place for fellowship within the church community. This is where we encourage one another. This is where we build one another up. This is where we strengthen one another. This is where we celebrate together in life. And this is also where we grieve together in moments of loss and grief. So fellowship is an important part of our discipleship journey. I know there are the other extreme. There are people who say, hey, it's okay, the important discipline, I pray, I worship, I listen to the Word of God, I spend time on that, but it is not important to waste my time on fellowshipping with one another. But that's not true. Acts chapter 2 demonstrated to us the importance of coming together. You see, Acts chapter 2, it tells us they actually met regularly in each other's home. What does that tell you? They gather regularly, even in social settings, to fellowship with one another. Because in that building of relationships with one another, it places us better to relate to one another, to stand with one another, to encourage one another, and to strengthen one another. Lastly, the church community devotes itself to winning the lost. And that is a key characteristic of a biblical church community. In verse 44, 47, it tells us that the early church was winning the lost as the Lord added to the number daily those who are being saved. The church community must focus on winning the lost. If the church community, whether it's in the church or in yourself, we stop focusing on the very important commission for us to win the lost, then again, it is a holy huddle. You are a community of church of God's people, but you are a holy huddle. Instead, we must always remember that the purpose of a church family, a church community, and communities within the church family is to win the lost. Hence, these are the characteristics of a biblical church community. It's always important to check if we are demonstrating all these characteristics in our church, in our cell group. This is because we do not want to build a community club, but the church of God. And now that we have spoken about this, let us move on to look at the costs and benefits of church community life. Are you still following me? You still following me? You look lost. Okay, if you are following me, turn to your neighbor and say, I thank God that you are journeying with me. Come on. Let us now then move on to what I call the costs and benefits of church community life. Singaporeans, right, we need to always weigh the cost and the benefit. You know, this segment is not meant for us to weigh and decide if it is worth it to invest in church community life or not. Instead, this segment is to make clear that there will be some cost in community life, even in the church. And at the same time, there will be great benefits that we can enjoy and reap from being part of the church community. And that's why God has intended for us to walk together. Let us talk about the cost first. Firstly, There could be material costs and personal inconveniences in church community life. Verse 45 tells us that the early disciples sold properties and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Maybe when I mentioned this, it has just sealed some of your decisions not to be part of church community, you know. Unfortunately, we have already locked all the doors, okay? listen to me. Jokes aside, I know I have pre-believing friends telling me, you know, Melvin, you are really stupid, you know, because you commit yourself to a community that taxes you 10% every month, you know. And I say, never mind, you not only give money. You know, in Singapore or in anywhere in the world, you pay money, you get service, right? But this one, you pay money and you still serve. You see, in all sense, in all common sense, it doesn't make sense at all. And you know, actually, some people do hesitate to join a church community for this reason, because there is personal cost. There's even great personal inconveniences. And it's not just about money. Being part of the church community also demands our time and our effort. We commit our time and effort to serve God and to serve the body of Christ. So in the eyes of the world, this is bad business. You spend your money, your time, and your energy. There are many of you who are faithfully tithing to the Lord and giving to the church. But there will also be some within the church community who cannot give in the same measure that you could or have not chosen to contribute. There's some of you who are serving in different and even many capacities within the church. But we also know that there are some very talented and able members who might not have chosen to serve for different reasons. But today's sermon is not meant to beat up those who are not contributing finances or labor. You know, you have your own reasons. But what I'm trying to highlight that there are indeed material costs and personal inconveniences to us when we commit ourselves to church community life. And to those of you who have been contributing, we can attest of the blessings of God, you know, in our lives and beyond what we could give. But for those of you who are yet to contribute, do not let this be a reason for you not to be in church community. Come into community. We are not judging you. We don't, you know, even track whether you tithe. We don't even track whether you're serving or not. You know, because we believe when the Lord readies our heart, you will make the response to God. But commit. Commit to journey together with us as a family, as a church family in the cell. Because there are great benefits that I will talk about later. Secondly, the second cost that we probably have to be aware of and have to pay when we come into community life is that community life in the church requires us to be vulnerable. It requires us to be vulnerable. When we choose to be in a church community, we have to open up our lives to others. Some of us are just not comfortable with people intruding into our comfort zones when we are in community. Maybe someone is too nosy to our liking. Maybe someone is too overly eager to get close to you and they are uncomfortable. See, in verse 46, the early disciples open up their homes to one another. You know, our homes represents probably the single biggest comfort zone that we have. You know, you can meet people in coffee shops, you can meet people in a restaurant, but to invite somebody to your home, it is another thing. Because they see, you know, all parts of your life, you know, you see the mess, they imagine things about you, you know. These are our single biggest comfort zone. And for you to invite somebody into your home, it is opening up, you know, your personal life, your personal space, your comfort zone to others. And in church community life, it's like that. It's not just about opening your homes to one another. It is about opening up our lives to be vulnerable to one another. And we commit to church community life, we must be prepared for that. You know, so for the church members who open up their homes for you to meet in a cell group every week, appreciate them, right? Because they are putting themselves into the biggest risk, you know, for you to observe every part of their lives, right? Thirdly, third cost that we need to pay when we come into community life is that we need to also be prepared for emotional investments. You know, this is not evident in a key passage today, but we could see from the other accounts in the Bible that the early disciples were emotionally involved with each other during their journey together as fellow disciples. There were occasions where they celebrated together. You know, they saw the 3,000 new believers on the day of Pentecost. They witnessed the signs and wonders in the passage that we just read. But they also witnessed the betrayal of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5, just three chapters later. They witnessed the disputes among the early disciples. They witnessed, you know, the straying from God's doctrine in some congregations in the early churches. See, there will be emotional highs and lows in church community life, and we must be prepared for emotional investments. You know, some of my most painful moments and disappointments in life had actually come from being part of the church community. You know, there was a couple whom Wendy and I loved dearly. We conducted marriage preparation counseling for them. And they were our cell members when we led a cell. They were not just ordinary cell members, you know, they were deeply loved by Wendy and I. And, you know, we look upon them really very much like our little brother and sister, and we mean it, you know. We spend a lot of time together as couple to couple. But unfortunately, at one point, they were drawn to a certain church doctrine that our church did not agree with. You know, it's not just about preferences and practices of different churches, but, you know, we check against the Word of God, and, you know, we really believe that, you know, that doctrine that the church they were drawn to is a wrong doctrine. And we counseled them, we spoke to them, we encouraged them, you know, to see the truth. But despite our counsel, they chose to leave the church. But that was not the most hurtful part. In the process of counseling them, of encouraging them to see, you know, the correct doctrine, they felt that, you know, Wendy and I were being selfish and trying to hurt them on what God is trying to do in their lives. And there were a lot of accusations even, you know, that we actually, instead of caring for them and caring for them, you know, following the cause of God in their lives, we were just being selfish. And a lot of accusation, and that broke our heart. And I still remember vividly, even at this moment, that moment when Wendy and I, you know, in our own bedroom, weeping so bitterly over the loss of this couple in our lives. We hurt because we love them, and we still love them. Although we had the opportunity to reconcile, you know, things were never the same again. So I'm not going to sugarcoat things. Being in community, being in church community, can bring us pain and disappointment. I'll address this in one of the subsequent sermons. But we need to know that this is a cost that we need to pay as well. But before we get too pessimistic about relationships and community life, let us look at the benefits of community life. I'm going to share with you four benefits of community life. Why four? Because I share with you three costs. So it must be four benefits so that you can at least conclude that by the Singaporean mind, it's still worthwhile to do it, all right? Four, but there are many more. But four, okay? There are many benefits of community life. And one of them is that we could help one another when we are in community. When we are in community, we can help one another. In verse 45, the early disciples sold properties and possessions to give to anyone who have need. You see, when we are in community, we are better positioned to help one another and also to receive help in times of need. It positions us, you know, to receive help when we need to, and it also positions us to be there for someone who needs help when they need to. And this can only happen if we are in communities. If you are walking your own life, what will happen is that when you, in times of need, you will literally have to look left and right, up and down, and you wonder who can help you. But it also gives us the very unique position You know, that the Lord's blessing upon us, whether in material or emotional, you know, wealth the Lord has given to us, we can use that to help one another in times of need. So being in community opens up and positions us to receive help and to render help. So that is the first benefit. Secondly, when we are in community, we can strengthen and encourage one another. We strengthen and one another when we are in a church community. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 to 12, beautiful verses. Listen to this. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and have no one to help them out. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. How can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. You know, this is a powerful reminder of why God has never intended for us to be alone and journeying alone as disciples of Christ. The verses remind us that we can help one another. We can encourage one another when we are down. We can defend and protect one another. We are reminded that there is strength when we are bonded together, like the three-strand cord that is not quickly broken. I know some of us are strong and independent. You know, we are not easily discouraged nor struck down. As such, we sometimes are being lured into thinking that we don't need any others as much as people need us. I think Pastor Benny's message a few weeks ago was a timely reminder that we should be careful to guard against self-sufficiency. And sometimes, you know, we think we can be emotionally self-sufficient at times. And sometimes we are better positioned to help others. If I'm in a community, it's because I can be in a position to help others. That is emotional self-sufficiency. It is important to recognize that there are times, no matter how strong you are, there are times that you need to lean on one another and to be have someone to keep you warm, to have someone to be the threefold part of the threefold cord that will protect you and strengthen you. Let us also look at our anchor verses for the church in 2026. And that's taken from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 to 25. And it also tells us the purpose of journeying together as the disciples of Christ. Hebrews 10, 24, it says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing so, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." You know, through our anchor verses, we are encouraged not to give up meeting together. When we are bonded together, we can then encourage one another and spur one another towards love and good deeds. And this is an important benefit of being in a church community, that we can strengthen one another and to encourage one another. Benefit number three. A united church community enjoys the blessings of God. A united church community enjoys the blessings of God. You see, in verse 47, we were told that a unity in the early church resulted in them enjoying the favor of all the people. They were enjoying the favor of people because they were united as a church. But unity in the body of Christ not only draws the favor of people, it also attracts the blessings of God. Where did I get it from? Psalms 133, verse 1 to 3 says, "How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like the precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down from Aaron's beard down to the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion." And listen to this, "For there the Lord bestows his blessings, even life forevermore." See, the psalm tells us that a united people of God experiences the anointing of God. That is what the oil and the dew in verse 2 represent. Then in verse 3, scriptures tells us that a united people of God enjoys the blessings of God. Unity can only come when the people of God first choose to walk together and walk closely together. The first step is the commitment to live together, to work together, to journey together. And when we do so in unity, the scriptures tell us we draw the favor of man and we draw the blessings of God. That is a beautiful benefit of walking together, united in a community of God. One last one. Fourth benefit of coming together and journeying together as a church community, because a united community of believers position us to win the lost. A united community of believers position us to win the lost. In Acts chapter 2, verse 47, it says, the Lord added to the numbers daily those who are being saved. We thank God for the 178 souls saved last year through the church outreach efforts. You know, I believe that this was God's affirmation of our faith and faithfulness. And I also believe that this is God's reward for our community, for our unity as a community of followers. I did not make this up. We saw these blessings on the early church in Acts chapter 2. As they journey together, you know, as a church in unity, we were told that, you know, numbers were added to them daily. They did not even talk about their efforts to reach out, but they talk about numbers were just added to them daily. It's the blessing of God, of people knowing God, because there's first that unity in the body of Christ. This is like a badge of honor from the Lord to a faithful and united church. So this is a beautiful benefit of being united and walking together in church community life, because it positioned us then to win the loss. So these are the benefits of being in a community. We can help one another. We can strengthen and encourage one another. We can enjoy the blessings of God and men. And it positioned us to win the loss. You know, earlier I shared my pain from church community life. The truth is that I derive far more joy from being in a church community than pain and disappointment. Surely it has been so, right? Doesn't make sense if I'm always experiencing hurt and disappointment, I've still chosen to remain in church community. You know, till this day, I can still remember who was at my 21st birthday party, not many years ago. Not many decades ago. You know, up to this day, I can still tell you, I can see the picture, you know, we standing to take the group photo in our church house in Pasir Panjang against that wall, you know, taking a group photo. I can remember who was there on my 21st birthday. You know, many of these had journeyed with me in church life and in life. You know, we call ourselves the Lao Yos, you know, like old friends, you know. Now the word Lao is even more appropriate, you know. But and we still gather regularly together. You know, together we have gone through difficult times in life. We battled medical ordeals among some of us. We grieve over the death of one of us. We battled issues that our children faced. We walked each other through times of retrenchment. We grieve over the loss of our parents together. But we also celebrated life together. We celebrated miracles and deliverance of God in some of our lives or all our lives. We enjoy the fact that our children are close friends with each other. We celebrate that our children are still very much in the faith of God. We continue to encourage one another to labor for the Lord. You know, I remember speaking to a few of them to continue serving in the youth ministry, in the youth church, despite the great commitment required of them as young parents when I was a youth pastor. You know, it's not easy, you know, to encourage young parents who were tending to their young families, spending time, you know, giving up time with their young children, and to come, you know, Saturday to serve in the youth church and then Sunday to continue to attend church. It's a great commitment. I remember speaking to a few of them to continue to do so, and they responded. I believe that they responded to God. I also believe that they responded to the plea of an old friend. So that's the beauty of church community life. There'll be pain, there'll be disappointments, But the joy of journeying together in faith and life outweighs the disappointments that we will face. This is the truth. This has been my experience. And this is what you can look forward to as you journey together as a church family. Let me move on to the last point as I invite the worship team to come and minister to us. You know, it's a very short point. It's very much a conclusion. So don't worry. You know, time is good. Last thing I want to share with you today, then, having known all these things, having known what the Lord has designed for the church community to do, having looked at the cause and the benefits that we can have in journeying together, what is left of us is for us to make a personal decision and commitment towards community life in the church. The call is for us to commit ourselves to following Jesus together as a church community. We must make two personal decisions as followers of Jesus Christ. We first choose whether we want to follow Jesus. And after we decided to follow Jesus, we need to make a second decision, whether you intend to journey alone as a follower of Christ or to come in a community to journey together. Now, choosing to commit to community life is not an easy choice. There are personal costs. There are personal inconveniences. It requires us to open up our lives. It requires us to make emotional investments. But today, we also remember that there are many benefits from church community life. To reap these benefits, we need to make first the decision if we are willing to commit to community life. Will you commit to community life here in LSBC? We thank God that we have enough opportunities and avenues for us to be in different communities within the church. Maybe you are new or have been only been just visiting the church. I'm not pressuring you to commit yourself to this church today. Take your time to sense if this is the correct church for you. But I also want to encourage you, if you are seeking, not to float around for too long looking for a church. Make a decision to settle into a church. It may not be LSBC, but make a decision to settle into a church so that your faith can be strengthened, so that you can protect yourselves from the plans of the evil one to lure you into complacency and even away from your faith. And if LSBC is a church community that you are willing to be part of, I pray that you will make your commitment here. Anchor yourself here. Grow with us together as a community and journey in life of the disciples of Jesus Christ together as a family. For some of us, we identify with LSBC as our church family. But today, perhaps the Holy Spirit is challenging you to commit deeper into community life. Will you join a cell group? Will you join a church ministry and serve? Maybe for some of us who have not been regular at cell, will you in this new year make a fresh commitment to community life in the cell again? For those of us who are regular in cells, will we make an effort also then to reach out to those who have not been regular again? I know sometimes it takes a lot out of you to keep reaching out to those who don't want to be part of community life. But will you today, knowing how important it is for them also to journey with you in community life, to make a fresh effort to reach out to them? You never know what God can make, can turn, you know, that willingness into, in calling somebody back into community. And I want to make one more appeal. You know, in church community life, we also have closer friends. But have we invested enough in the lives of our close friends? Thank God for them. Go tell them that you are grateful for them in your life. Continue to do life together. This is church community life. This is discipleship with Jesus together as a church family. This is the call of God for us today. Commit to follow Jesus together. The word is together. Will you commit to follow Jesus together? At this juncture, in a short while, we'll get our worship team to lead us in the closing song. I'm not going to make an altar call, but I really believe that God is speaking to some of us, and I want to give you at least some room for you to respond to God individually where you're seated. At this juncture, I just encourage all of us to put aside our notes, our phones, and close our eyes, bow our heads, and just let the Holy Spirit speak. I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to different one of us, different things this morning. Will you tune in to listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you? With our eyes closed and our heads bowed, no one looking, I just want to really pray for a few groups of people where we are seated today. I think firstly, I want to call out to people who have not given your life to Jesus Christ. Your friends have been inviting you to church and you have listened to us sharing about this Jesus whom you can trust in. Maybe today, as you sit down there, you know that God is speaking to you. This Jesus is speaking to you and tugging your hearts to give your life to Jesus. And with all our eyes closed, except mine, if this is the juncture, you say that, you know, I want to give my lives, I want to give my life to Jesus to follow Him, will you just quickly raise up your hand and put down so that I can see you and pray for you? And lift up your hands and pray and put it down. Say, Jesus, I'm giving my life to you. I want to follow you. Yes, I see your hand. You can put it down. Thank you. And secondly, for some of us here, you know that the Lord is calling you to walk closely with Him again. And this is an opportunity for us to say, you know, probably you say that each time, you know, beginning of the year, I commit myself to walk closely with God, and each time, you know, I drop off. But today, you know, God is challenging you to rededicate your life to walk with Jesus closely. Maybe to do so in community. If that's who you are, again, can I just ask that you put up your hand and put it down quickly so that I can pray for you. Yes, I see your hand. Yes, I see. Can you put it down? Yes, I see the hand. Put it down. And thirdly, I really want to then reach out to some of us here. Maybe you are afraid of community life in the church because you have been hurt and disappointed in when journeying with God's people before. And such pain had caused you to decide that, no, I'm with the Lord, but I'm not going to walk closely. I'm not going to open up my lives to others. But today, as you hear this, you know God is speaking to you. Give life in the church, community life in the church, another chance. You know, God is speaking to you. I believe that God wants to stir your heart to have new faith, to believe in people again. If that's who you are, will you surrender your disappointments, your hurts before the Lord and say, Lord, help me believe again, to commit myself to community life. If that's who you are, I encourage you to put your hand on your heart so that I can pray for you. And without dragging on, finally, those of us, you know, the Lord is challenging us to commit afresh the church community. Like maybe you have been in and out of cell groups. I mean, God is speaking to some of you to serve in a ministry. And today you know that God is challenging you to obey. If that's who you are, same thing with every eyes closed, put your hand on your heart so that I can pray for you. Let's commit ourselves to journey together as a church family, together. And let me pray for you now. Father, I thank you for your word for each one of us today. I know, Lord, you are speaking about different things to us. Father, you see the response of each of these people, your children before you. Father, I want to pray especially for those who are giving their lives to you for the first time or rededicating their lives unto you. We thank God for them. Father, even as they journey with you in their discipleship journey, Father, I pray that, Lord, you will help them discover the beauty of walking with you, and walking with your people, Lord. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters who have been hurt in the past because, Father, of disappointments and hurts from people as they journey together in church. Father, this morning, this afternoon, I pray for your healing to come upon them. Father, cause them to believe again as they journey together with the others in this church. They can be strengthened, they can be encouraged. They will see even a greater beauty of journeying together as disciples of Christ together, Lord. So give them new faith, new hope. And that together, even as we commit ourselves to church community life, Father, may we, Father, as a church, may we in ourselves, in our zones, continue to strengthen, to grow. May we be there to help one another when the need is there. May we be there to receive help and be able to receive help when we need so. We thank you, Lord, for this church family. We thank you, Lord, for ourselves. We thank you, Lord, for each other. We thank you for you, Lord. And we pray all this in the Lord's most precious name, and let all God's people say, Amen.